We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Here, who has just finished his campaign to get a 9/11 memorial in Indianapolis. When you hear an Iraqi speak in saying everything you did made things worse, how do you feel?
Well, my name's Terry, and first I want to say salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. I'm an Army veteran, and I have two schools of thought for you. I have not been in Iraq personally, but I've retired after 21 years of service. And I studied the world history of this event, and we originally went in for looking for weapons of mass destruction. Don't know if the justification was correct after we learned from the lessons of Vietnam. Believe it was also a post 9/11 response, which I believe is justified from a U.S. perspective. But whether or not we learn from these, from Vietnam and also Somalia, is a term in the military called mission creep, where you go in for a humanitarian mission and then it expands to something it should not have been.
Well, though, to be honest, George Bush was explicit. He wanted to remove Saddam Hussein because he felt he posed a threat to Americans, and he went through with the threat to do that. Greg, what's your view of this when you hear an Iraqi saying, I mean, Omar's still there and you can talk to him. How do you feel when he's so dismissive of what America's done?
Well, I think people have forgotten about the atrocities against the people of Iraq by their dictator. You know, they've forgotten about that too. So, you know, my feelings are, if you are harboring people who harm us and have harmed us, you are our enemies, and we will come and get you. And, you know, 3,000 people were murdered that day. They didn't die, they were murdered that day.
We've got another Greg here to speak with you, Omar.
Yeah. Hello, Omar. This is Greg. How are you doing?
Hi, Greg.
I would just like to say in defense of people of the United States, we know that Iraqis didn't kill anyone on 9/11, and we understand that Iraqis were kind of defenseless, you know, in the what I think is an illegal invasion of Iraq by former President Bush and Vice President Cheney. So on behalf of myself especially, of Northview Church of the Brethren, I hope I speak for them, we do apologize for that.
Greg, thank you for those comments. And I should say, before we bring in Saeed, who's on the phone from Pakistan, that Greg has got a chair attached to his back. And people here at Ribfest are taking their chairs very, very seriously, because there aren't any laid on. And if you want to watch the gigs or sit down and enjoy your ribs in comfort, you have to provide your own chair. So lots of people have got them. But Greg's gone one step further, and he's actually got it on his back. If you are just joining us, there are lots of photos and videos of where we are on facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay. It's a large park called Military Park, and there are a number of huge trees all around, and in between the trees are a lot of pork stalls. We're at Squealers. Next door is Porky Chicks, and along the way is Sergeant Oink, which did have one of the largest queues. And in case we are under any illusions about what's more popular in Indiana, pork or World Have Your Say, there's quite a few World Have Your Say listeners, but the queue next to us for Squealers and for ribs is a lot longer, about 30, 40 people queuing up at the moment. Here's a couple of comments. Waiswa in Uganda says, I trust America more, especially under Obama. I like the fact that America puts interests of other nations into perspective. And we'll talk about President Obama and the impact he's had on America's reputation in a minute. But first of all, let me bring in Saeed, who's in Pakistan. Saeed, welcome to the program. What's your point?
Well, my point is that the regard to the trust deficit that exists between Pakistan and the United States is quite simple, actually. It starts all the way from whether the United States is actually a friend of Pakistan or is it not. And the argument goes from both sides. The United States expects us to go all the way as soon as we take their money, and just have an utter disregard for our own interests. But at the same time, Pakistanis expect the United States to do our bidding. And at the moment, it doesn't seem like either case is working in either country's favor.
So there's a trust deficit, and you say Pakistanis have an utter disregard for Americans. But I wonder, those Americans gathered around here by the Squealers barbecue stall, do you trust Pakistan. Your country gives Pakistan millions, if not billions, of dollars. Do you have faith that that money is being well spent?
I think that the Pakistani government has a lot of corruption, and so a lot of the aid that goes, or it doesn't trickle down to the people. But I don't think that that we shouldn't trust the people of Pakistan. It's their government.
No, I say not. I don't think it's going to the right places, and I agree with her totally.
I also agree with that. The trust issue is back down to what happened with the SEAL Team 6 and their recent mission there to capture, you know, Osama bin Laden and take care of that business when he was right there in the backyard of Pakistan is unbelievable.
And just to remind those of you listening, and I'm sure most of you remember, Osama bin Laden was found in a Abbottabad in a security compound not very far away from a major military training institute. Now, we're hearing Americans here saying they don't trust Pakistan to use their money properly. And Saad, we're hearing you, a Pakistani, saying you don't trust America's motives. So how can we get over the trust deficit that you say, Saad, exists? What needs to happen now?
The trust deficit exists precisely because both sides aren't paying attention to the argument itself. The Americans only look at the money that they're paying Pakistanis, and I agree, it is a huge point in this particular issue. But what they have, well, what they disregard, according to my point of view, is the fact that over 35,000 Pakistanis have died in this war in the last 10 years. Would you like me to count the number of Americans that have died in this war? I mean,
well, it's very difficult to... It's very difficult to quantify, but I appreciate the figures that you're suggesting are true. Saad, thank you for joining us from Pakistan. And those of you listening, if you want to comment on what you're hearing, facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay. Nick in the UK says, I trust America in the position of world power much, much more than I'd ever trust China in that position. And Maya, who I think is in the States, says, I trust America much less than 10 years ago. Much of the American economy is driven by war, oil, and weapons, she says. Facebook.com/worldhaveyoursay if you'd like to take part. Now, before I stroll back into the barbecue store, because I've got a few more questions about producing ribs and everything that goes with that, Christopher's just joined us. You're leaning against a big pile of logs, which will be going on the smoker very soon. And you had a question for Omar, our Iraqi in London.
I have more of a statement. Omar, my name's Christopher, and I served in Iraq. And in one time, Iraq was an extremely powerful nation that actually led the world in mathematics and social order. And in the past, in the history here, the dictators have taken over, and I viewed as my presence in Iraq is to get rid of those dictators so that your country can come great again and lead the world in social order, and that's what I'd like to see. And what do you think of that?
I don't think so. Well, let's act with the reality. What happens exactly after what the American came in? Well, they said they're dictatorial and everything, and they come to liberate. But what happens really? They just come to oppress Iraq. They suck their money and blood. And I think it's really very obvious, you know. So when they all the time saying these things, not only for Iraq, for other countries, all the time they say we are coming to do this and to do that. After 9/11, they start saying that they create that monster they call it terrorism, and they start accusing every single, you know, country that who's helping.
Okay.
And you see
okay,
what I mean?
Omar, but. Yeah. Omar, let me get in here real quick. So you believe their country is not going to become great after this? You're going to be stuck in a rut for the next 500 years.
Yeah, exactly.
We want you to go ahead, and that's we came there to help get you pull you ahead and put you back in the top ranks of the world again.
Exactly.
And so what you're saying is you're not going to see that happen.
Of course not. Yeah,
is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. Of course not. Yeah.
Okay, well, eventually we will leave, so we can't be there forever, but what are you doing to make your country good again?
Is that the question for me?
Omar, the question was,
yeah.
Do you feel that Iraqis are now pushing on to make their country great again without anyone else's help? Do you think that's happening now?
Well, of course that everybody start doing his, you know, his best, but unfortunately, because I'm living now in London, so I don't know exactly what's happening. But this is normal that when people, you know, in this situation, they start doing their best. But sometimes when things are really going in a wrong way, There's not much to do. You see what I mean?
Like, all right,
one example. I'll give you one example. It's about the
briefly, if you would, Omar.
Yeah. It's the electricity. Actually, the problem of the electricity in Iraq. That's been like, you know, since the American when they came in. And they didn't have any, they didn't help them with that problem, you see? So this one thing, yeah.
Omar, thank you very much for your contributions on today's World Have Your Say. If you're just turning on your radio, we're live from Military Park in Indianapolis. Ribfest is in full swing. It goes on for several days. There's gigs all through the afternoon and into the evening. The likes of REO Speedwagon, groups I never thought I'd see again. REO Speedwagon, the Doobie Brothers. I didn't even know they were still going, but they're here.
You won't see fish and chips here, though.
I won't see any fish and chips. You're right. Who needs fish and chips when you've got 2 tons of pork being worked through, which is what Squealers, our host today, are going to be serving during the festival. Let's talk about this issue of America going out and promoting democracy, promoting freedom. Christopher, you seem to think as a serviceman that it was part of America's job to go around the world and help these things flourish. But is it really America's job to do that? John's just joined us. What do you think about that?
I think we respond to security issues in the most part, but I think occasionally America has a habit of being a little heavy-handed. Their security forces tend to respond in a very aggressive way, thinking that this will, you know, minimize the pain and, you know, everything to everybody. But I think that alienates some people in certain parts of the world and gives a negative impression of America occasionally.
And those of you listening will know, just before the news, I interrupted a gentleman from getting his ribs because I was trying to speak to the woman who was serving him, and he didn't seem very impressed. But the good news is he's back. Nice to meet you, Brandon.
Nice to meet you, too.
I apologize about earlier.
Not a problem. They were very good ribs.
They look very good. Do you think it's America's job to go around the world promoting democracy and freedom, or is it just your job to make sure it's happening here?
No, what the American military, what most people don't understand with the American military, and I've been to several different nations around the world where we've supported the local governments. We've built schools and hospitals. We've improved their roads. And the military aspect of it, most of the time, is just to guard our own personnel from different terror aspects that might flourish in that country. But we've provided thousands of schools, several hospitals, not only in the Balkans, in the Middle East, in Indonesia.
Nice to meet you, Brandon. Steve is listening to us on WFYI in Indianapolis. He's emailed to say, do I love my country unflinchingly? Do I trust it? Only about as far as I can throw one of our millions of morbidly obese citizens. And Kalizar in Lusaka is listening to us live on FM, saying, throughout history, superpowers have bullied the weaker ones. So America is doing the same because it's a superpower. Whether one trusts America or not, it doesn't make any difference. Bullies don't have permanent friends. Well, I'm going to leave, speaking of friends, I'm going to leave the WFY listeners who are gathered around this table just for a couple of minutes and stroll back inside the Squealers barbecue stall to continue the conversation I was having a little bit earlier. The boss